Okay, we're on Daf Hey today. I'll begin on Daf Dal and Amadeus, a few lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay, so we're stuck at Daf Dal and Amadeus. Nice to have everybody with us. So if you look 5 lines from the bottom on page 8, that's the 4b, it says, V'she'enagova asar tefachim. The Mishnah said that if the sukkah is not 10 tefachim high, it's psula. So every sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is not like a large amount. It's usually we say like a tefach, say like 4 inches. 10 tefachim would be 40 inches, and that's the minimum shear for a mechitza in general. A lot of these dinim that we have on Dalet Amud Beis, 4b, okay? So Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the... So a lot of the dinim that we have relate to, in this parak, relate to mechitot, which are applicable to dinim of Eruvin as well. So we'll see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Benalim, where do we know this halacha that if a sukkah is not 10 tefachim high, it's psula? So Itmar, so it was stated, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Matnum, Rav and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva taught, and then the Gemara has an interjection, whenever you have these four chachamim, there are those who say, instead of Rabbi Yochanan, it should be Rabbi Yonatan. But either way, the four chachamim saying Aron Tisha v'Kapora Tefa, that the Aron was 9 tefachim in height. So the Aron is Amataim Achetzi Komato. It's an Ama and a half in Koma in height. So an Ama is 6 tefachim. So Ama v'Achetzi would be 9 tefachim. Okay, we're on Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, he says Aron Tisha v'Kapora Tefa. The kaporet is the covering on the aron. So the aron is like a box, right? So I have the aron, and the kaporet is the covering on the box, if I can put it that way. That's one tefach. So between all of those together, we have 10 tefachim. And if you look at the last Tosfos on Dalan with Beis, he says, Asara tefachim in Alan, where do we know it's 10 tefachim? So Tosfos says, we're going to learn from here as well, where we know that you have 10 tefachim for mechitza on Shabbat. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Uchtiv, v'nuadati l'chasham, I will meet with you there. V'nuadati l'chasham, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's speaking about the Aaron. V'nuadati l'chasham, I'll set my appointment with you there. V'dibarti itchami al hakaporet, I will speak to you from on top of the kaporet, on the top line in Hayim and Aleph. But Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Le'olam lo yardashkina l'mata, lo alu Moshe v'Eliyahu l'maron. So where he's headed here, we're going to develop this. He's going to say that the area of 10 tefachim above the ground, that's like a domain, you know, that's designated for humans. And the Shekhinah doesn't go below 10 tefachim. So he's going to prove that like the minimum shear for Rishus is 10 tefachim. That's the general thrust, right, from the ground. And we'll see it from the heavens as well. But we'll see. We just have to be patient with this because, you know, I always tell you, like, when we get into a city, you know, you hear this, that, you gotta wait till you put everything together and get a little bit of the picture. It's like looking, you know, it's like looking at one piece of a puzzle when you do 2 lines in the Gemara and you have questions about the one piece in the puzzle. You know, you need to put the whole puzzle together and then you see the whole picture and then you can ask questions. You know what I mean? So let's just do a little further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Shekhinah never came below 10 tefachim, below Moshe v'Eliyahu l'Maron. And Moshe v'Eliyahu didn't go to the Maron, to the heavens. It's going to say that just like there's 10 tefachim above the ground, there's 10 tefachim, let's say, imagine like Shemayim, we have like a ceiling, there's 10 tefachim below Shemayim. So Moshe v'Eliyahu never went above that. Shneamar, the Pasuk says, and this we're familiar with, we just had it on Shabbat, we said Hallel, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, the heavens are for Hashem, va'aretz l'tan of Adam. Meaning, the Shemayim is exclusively for Hashem, and land is exclusively for people. That's what the pasuk is saying. So now, so that's the broad brush approach to this proof, but we didn't really fully develop it yet. So the Gemara says, you mean the Shekhinah, God's divine presence, never came down to earth. It says in the Pasuk in Chumash, in Parshat Yitro, that Hashem came down on Har Sinai. So he did come down to earth. So the Gemara says, L'mala me'asar tefachim. It means he always remained above 10 tefachim. V'hakitiv, v'yamdu raglav, v'yamahu al har hazeitim. this pasuk in Zechariah, that's the Haftorah for I think the first day of Sukkot, and is it I think Yom Baal Hashem Kulak Shaleich Bekerbeich, I think anyway. So it says V'amdu Raglav. It's an anthropomorphism speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'amdu Raglav by Yom Ahu. He Hashem will stand by Yom Ahu Al Har Zeitim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will be standing on Har Zeitim. So if he's standing on Har Zeitim, then he's within 10 tefachim. So the Malam Yisar tefachim. So in Akinami, the Gemara says, indeed, there as well, it's above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, V'lo'alu Moshe v'Eliyahu Marom. You mean Moshe and Eliyahu never went to the heavens? He says, V'hakiv Moshe alai alokim. He says, Moshe went up to God. L'mata me'asar. He was below 10 tefachim. It means, if you imagine like there's this place that's like the Marom, and then 10 tefachim below that. So Moshe went up to 10 tefachim below Marom. V'haktiv v'yal Eliyahu basara ha-shamayim, that Eliyahu Navi went up in a storm to Shamayim. He says, L'mata me'asara. Now, v'haktiv, now the Gemara quotes another pasuk, Yov. This pasuk is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. V'haktiv ma'achez p'nei kisei pershaz alav anano. That ma'achez p'nei kisei, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's holding on to the kisei akavod, holding on to God's throne. He says, Parshaz alav anano. God spreads his anano over him, his cloud over him. V'amarabi tanchum melameid. Now, he's darshaning out the word parshaz is a very unusual word. He's learning it no treatment. If you look at Rashi, on the third wide line on top, shepiras shakai mizib shkinato, parshaz no treatment kadarsh. In other words, parshaz is like an abbreviation. It says melameid back in the Gemara, shepires shakai, in other words, the peresh is a God spread. Shepires shakai miziv shkinato. And then the shin is shakai, and then the zayin is ziv. So God spread over from like the glory of his shina, ba'anano alav lamata, his cloud was above him. So the Gemara says, lamata me'asar, in hachinami, he did those things, but Moshe Rabbeinu still remain like below 10 tefachim from where Shemai begins. So the Gemara says, mikoma koma ches p'nei kisei, but it says he's holding onto the throne. The throne has got to be in Shemayim. So the Gemara says, Ishtarbuve Ishtarbiv like Kisei Arasara Benakive, that the Kisei Akavu descended below the 10 tefachim and he grabbed onto it. All right, now let's just pause for a minute and take some of this in, and let me talk a little bit and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. Now first let me do a little piece with this, which I think will help. So he says this is from the Aladaf. He says the Gemara derives from that the Shekhinah does not descend below 10 tefachim, and we did this all. And he says, Hashemayim, Hashemayim, Hashem, Baruch Shem, Adam. Divine presence of Hashem does not descend to man's domain on earth. Now, the Pasuk says Hashem would speak with Moshe Rabbeinu from atop the Aron between the two Kruvim, and the Aron with his cover was 10 tefachim high. This indicates that man's domain on earth extends only to the height of 10 tefachim, and therefore the Shekhinah was able to descend on top of the Aron, which was 10 tefachim above the ground. As mentioned above, the Gemara derives from this that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. Rashi comments that we see from the fact that Shekhinah does not descend below 10 tefachim that the first 10 tefachim off the ground constitutes a separate domain. Tosfos on Daf Dalam Beis writes, this Rasha teaches that the minimum height of a legal division of Mechitza regarding all areas in Allah is 10 tefachim. And we know that like, the Rav, he held that like the minimum shear for a Mechitza for women is 10 tefachim, but it's taking it from a din that everybody agrees by Mechitza for Shabbat. 10 tefachim is adequate, and that's from here, and the Rav is just, you know, deriving from there. Now, the connection between man's domain on earth and the minimum height of a sukkah or a machitz is a bit ambiguous. Sharon Mitzvina Balacha, that's a Rav Brown, and he was in his heyday in the 1950s, he suggests the following correlation between the required dimensions of a sukkah and the height of man's domain on earth. Okay, please, everybody needs to mute themselves. 1 second. All right. So he says, firstly, the Gemara below on Daf Tedman Aleph states that one may not derive personal benefit from a sukkah materials because the pasuk states, Chag HaSukkot Taseh Lecha Shivat Yamim LaHashem. You should make Chag HaSukkot 7 days LaHashem. He says, from which we derive that Kishem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al Chagiga, Chachal Shem Shemayim Al Sukkah. the name of Hashem is affixed to a sukkah, which means that a sukkah has a degree of sanctity. It means that it merely means like the ate sukkah, the sukkah from the schach, it's muksa, you know, it's a type of muksa because he's designated it for the mitzvah. Logically, in order for Hashem's name to become attached to a sukkah, the sukkah must extend into Hashem's domain, which is about 10 tefachim from the ground. Moreover, the Zohar, in other words, if I say that Shem Shemayim is fall on the sukkah, and the sukkah is the schach, and Hashem's domain begins from 10 tefachim high, the schach has to be in that 10 tefachim domain. Moreover, the Zohar teaches that when a Jew sits in a sukkah, it's as though he is enveloped in the tzilat d'mheimnuta. He's the protection of Hashem, because Hashem spreads his wings, so to speak, over the sukkah. Accordingly, it follows that when sukkah must be at least as tall as the Aron, so the Shekhinah can descend and hover over it in the same way that the kruvim were positioned on top of the Aron. He says, note the Gemara in Daf Hei says that this source only proves that the sukkah, including the schach, must measure 10 tefachim. The Gemara says another source to prove that the airspace of a sukkah without the schach must measure 10 tefachim. Okay, now, the Maritz Chayis explains the concept Aris and Talav Adam and Miolam Lo Yarda Shekhinah Lamata Me'asara homiletically. The Gemara in Brachot on Lamed Gimel on the base states, "Hakol de Shemayim Chus Mirat Shemayim." Everything is preordained by Hashem except for the fear of heaven. This means that Hashem does not compel a person either to sin or to be righteous, but rather he leaves man to the resolve of his own free will. He says, quotes Gemara Nid on Ted Zion, Tzadik HaRasha and Gozrin on the Vlad. Heaven does not preordain whether an unborn fetus will become Tzadik HaRasha. This is what our Gemara alludes to when it says that the earth belongs to mankind, Shekhinah does not descend to the domain of man to control man's free will. In other words, it's a nice way to understand it. In other words, that Hashem leaves us to our own devices to make Bechira Chashis. When the Gemara says that Shekhinah doesn't descend below 10 tefachim, it means that Hashem is giving us the three receptions. We do what we need to do. But he gave us like a sort of like a framework to understand. We're saying that the way we're understanding it is this, the space underneath the schach has to be at least 10 tefachim. And then the schach must be above the 10 tefachim. And we learned that the schach is the Shem Shemayim schach on the schach. In other words, the schach we'll see later on, like you have a dinim muks in the schach. But it was like the Shem Shemayim l'chagiga, and also he said from the Zohar that when you're in the sukkah, it's like your betzila b'minuta, like Hashem's shade is over you because it's entering that period above 10 tefachim. Okay, now we can pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. Any questions, comments, and thoughts?
Quickly.
Okay, wait. I have first here, and then we'll get everybody in the cyber world, okay? Well, what's up? Yeah. Wait, can you speak a little louder? Go ahead. You have the mask on. I can't hear anything. Go ahead. Right. Right.
So they have a relatively newer extension. I was there like 5 years ago. They have this
phone.
All right.
Oh, okay.
It's on. Interesting, though. It has dates as BCE and CE.
Oh. I don't know. All right. Anyway, could you all hear that in the cyber world? If it was Eddie Parver was talking, he said that there's this Clark Institute in Williamstown, Virginia, and they have the pasuk Shemaim Shemaim LaHashem in this like exhibit. Anyway, so all right. Now, who had questions? You were
I had a question. So the idea we say Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemaim for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
Is that also by the Kisei Kavod kind of idea? Like he's.
I mean, the Gemara says Masechet Shabbos. Remember that he had like this. The Malachim said that the man shouldn't get the Torah.
Right. Yeah.
And then Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to respond to them. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm afraid I'm going to be like executed from their bolts, lightning bolts. So Hashem says, hold on to my Kisei Kavod. So that works in well with it. We're saying that the Kisei Kavod descended down so he could hold on to it, but it's hard to fully understand what it all means, but that's what I'm saying. Okay, Fern, what do you got for me?
I understand the psukim and everything and why Hashem's distance from us here on earth and the svach and everything, but why is it important to know what the distance between people who did go up to Marom, why they still had to keep a 10 10 tefachim distance. That's not what the sukkah is about. The sukkah is about...
Right. That doesn't relate, but it does relate in a certain sense. He's saying, in other words, the limud is that there's a domain for man, a domain for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and then anything in between, where they both have like a domain.
But when Eliyahu went up and Moshe went up, clearly we went into a different they went into a different domain. So I just didn't understand the relevance.
They're not in the domain of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're 10 tefachim below it. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Remember, when you go into space, right? Outer space is 52.
Right.
And 62, it's going to be something like that.
All right. Could you hear what Michael said?
He's giving him a Benoni spot.
Yeah, it's a little bit like it's very apropos. Maybe you're thinking of it because we just had with this Richard Branson. You know, so he only went up, I thought, 53 miles, whatever. But the
outer space.
But well, different people have different definitions. So like the other people define space as 60 miles up. Okay, let's take a look. I'm going to go further in the Gemara now. Okay, everybody mute themselves. Let's continue on. Okay, so. So I'm around six lines above where it gets wide on Hey Amid Aleph. Okay. So Bishlema Aron Tishas. Now, the linchpin of this raya was that the Aron is 9 tefachim and the Kippurah is 1 tefach. That's the linchpin of the raya. And Hashem, you know, meets with Moshe Rabbeinu or he speaks to him above the Aron. So that's the linchpin. Now, concerning the Aron, the Torah says Mefurash. In the beginning of Parshas, let me get in Parshas Truma. One second. So it says in Chumash, "Vasu Aron Atzeishitim Amatay Bachetz Yerakov Yama Bachetz Yerakov Yama Bachetz Kamato." It says Mefurash that it's an amma and a half in height, and we assume an amma is 6 tefachim, so an amma and a half will be 9 tefachim. That we're fine with. But by the Kaporet, the Torah says Vasita Kapor Zahav Tuor Amatay Bachetz Yerakov Yama Bachetz Yerakva. It only gives the length and the width. It doesn't give the height of the kaporet. So that's like the unknown, how thick the kaporet is. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Bishlema Aron Tisha. So the fact that Aron is 9 tefachim, that seems pretty straightforward. Ichtivi asu Aron aseishitim, amatay mechesi rakov, amabachesi rakov, amabachesi komato. It's saying that the Aron is an amma and a half in height. Fine. Hela kaporet tefach menalan. Where do we know that the kaporet is another tefach? It's like the lid on top of the aron. Where do we know that it's one more tefach above it? So the Gemara says, "Tani Rabbi Chanina." Rabbi Chanina taught the following brisa: "Kol haKelim sha'asah Moshe, all the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed, na'anah ben Torah midat orkan, midat rachban, midat komatan. That the Torah gives its length, its width, and its height. Kaporet, but with the kaporet." Mida arko mida rachba natna, but the kaporet gives its length and its width, mida komatalo natna. It doesn't give the height. So next, in essence, the brisa is asking the same question we're asking. How do we know the kaporet, or what is the height of the kaporet? So he says, say lamad mi pachot shebekelim. He says, we're going to learn out, mi pachot shebekelim doesn't mean the least of the kelim, but it means like an appendage to the kelim. We're going to learn from the least of an appendage. Shenamar, Yasitalo Miskeret Tofach Savi. Now this is talking about the Shulchan. It says you should make a Miskeret is like either a molding or a border, and we're gonna get our picture books out in a minute and see all the borders. Okay, one minute. He says Tofach Savi is a tefa. And we can make this molding one tefa around the Shulchan. Malahalan tefach afkan tefach. In other words, if we think it over, it's like you have the Aron is this box, and it has a covering on the box. So if I see that another keli, it's sort of like appendage is a tefach. So we're going to assume the kaporet is also a tefach. Now, we have the Kanahara Odeid Weiss was nice enough to go buy all these beautiful svarim, and I think he has it available for people who want it in the cyber world as well. You can speak to him. But let me just hold up a picture. And we also have the Peirush Chai here as well. And there was another Peirush Chai brought out before. There it is. Okay, yeah.
You're getting the book, dimensions of the Shulchan would be different than the Aron. So why did, if you did it to scale, then it wouldn't come out that way.
All right. Hold off, and hopefully we'll come to it. Okay. Now, he says here, like, I'm going to show this Peirush Chai picture to the cyber world. If you could see it, you see, like, there's like a like the shulchan, and then on the shulchan there's two versions where there's like a molding on top of it, you know, with a trim around. Yeah, or the other way is it's underneath it, okay? And then here in this picture book, we also have, you know, something similar like this. And I don't know. Anyway, all right. Anyway, so let me get back in the Gemara. Okay. So the point is, there's like this molding around the shulchan, and it has like an embankment of one tefach in height. So to sort of answer your question, Fern, we assume that the minor attachment to a keli will be the same. But if I see a minor attachment to the shulchan, it'll be similar to the minor attachment to the arum. That's the thinking. We'll see. It says v'asid lo masker tofas aviv ma'ala halan tefach afkan tefach. So the Gemara says the last narrow line, the nalef mi kelin gufayu. Why are you bothering with like an appendage to the keli? Why don't you look at the kelim itself? Like you're saying a little bit, firm. Why don't we say like the shulchan, whatever? It's 2.5 amos here. This, that, the other. What? How are you figuring the one tefa? Tafasta meruba lo tafasta tafasta mua tafasta. So it's a klal that we've had before. You see Masechet Rosh Hashanah that if you know, and there's different ways to understand the klal. We're just going to do the way Rashi has it. If you grab onto a large amount of material you haven't grabbed onto, if you grabbed a little, you did. Let's look at Rashi on this, the second narrow line from the top. So Rashi's going to say like this. Let's say people are giving me food. Let's say I'm at a kiddush or I'm at a fair, and they're giving me food or cake. And if I take like a large piece, so maybe I'm taking more than they wanted to give me. But if I take a small piece, then I, for sure, that's what they wanted to give me. And then if they wanted to give me more, that's fine. But I definitely have the amount that they wanted to give me. So let's take a look back on the second arrow line. Tfas and Rashi. Tfas and Meruba. Kol davar shemashmo meruba umuat. So anything that's mashma, it could be large, it could be small. In tfas and umuat, yafet tfas. If you grab onto the smaller amount, then you didn't act it appropriately. The batsa mihachi lo mashma. It's not going to be less than that amount. And if it turns out that they wanted to give you more, they're not going to take what you have. We have a large amount, so you weren't tofes, I mean, you didn't seize it for yourself. You seem like a liar. Maybe you were supposed to grab the small amount, but like they'll take away what that you have. It's like a parable. But the long and short of it is, Chazal teaching us that the klal we'll use is, we should always cut towards the minimum shear, not the maximum shear. So if I look at all the kalim, the minimum shear I see that's associated with kalim would be one tefach. That's the idea. So the minimum shear I see connected with kalim is one tefach. So Mela, the kapoor we assume is one tefach. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so on the first wide line downstairs. So the Gemara says, "Venei lef mi tzitz." Well, you're looking for minimum shiurim. Why don't we look at the tzitz? The tzitz is this plate that Kohen Gadol wears on his forehead, and it says on it, "Kodesh LaHashem." The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, tzitz dome kmin tas shel zahav. The tzitz was like a golden plate. The rochav shtei etzba'ot. It was a width of two etzba'ot. Now, a tefach has got six etzba'ot. So if I assume a tefach is 4 inches, which is what we usually assume, so the two etzba'ot would be one-third of a tefach. So one-third of 4 inches would be one and a third inches. And then continuing on the Gemara, the second wide line, umukaf me'ozen la'ozen, it went from ear to ear of the Kohen Gadol, the katuvalav shnei shitin. And on it, there were two lines written on the tzitz, and we're going to have some pictures for this in a minute. Yud kei milamala. Now, when it says yud kei, it means yud kei vav kei. It means the shem hamaforesh is on the top line. He says, the kodesh lamed milamata. And the kodesh la Hashem, kodesh la, is below. Meaning, it's not appropriate. It's going to say kodesh la Hashem. So we assume that it's written on two lines. So it's written on two lines, it's not appropriate that the Shem Hashem should be below. So the Shem Hashem is going to be on top, and then beneath it is going to say Kodesh La. And there's a machloket we showed him how it looks. We'll see in a minute. But Amar Reb Lezer, the Tana Reb Lezer, Amar Reb Lezer, Reb Yossi, Aniri Ti Baromi, where he says, I saw it in Rome, and we had this not too long ago in Mesech Yoma, I think. A reference to it. I remember there's an incident in Mesech Me'ila where Reb Lezer, Reb Yossi, and Reb Shem Bar Yochai go to Rome to be Mevatel, Exera from the Romans. They had Exera, I think, against Bris Mila, and they wanted to Mevatel it. And they encounter this spirit, this Tamalion, Ben Tamalion, and then Ben Tamalion, and when they get there, he enters the Caesar's daughter, and then they say, like, you know, Ben Tamalion say, leave her, and he leaves her, and then out of gratitude, the emperor says, go into the treasure house and take whatever you want. They go there, and they find the Xero, and they rip it up. So he says, so, Va'amar Ablezer Berbiosi, and Ibi Tibaromi, I saw the Sitz in Rome. I saw it written on one line, not two lines. So even though he says that he saw it and it was written on one line, the Chachamim still hold it's two lines. And I saw one shot they had in the art scroll that it could be that B'dieved, there would be pushed with one line. So the fact that he saw something like that is not machriya. Anyway, but the point is that the tzitz is a width of two etzbaot. So if it's two etzbaot, how did you figure out the part is one tefach? Maybe the kaporet is two etzbaot, like the tzitz is two etzbaot. Are you looking for a kalim? So that we think that's also a kalim. So the Gemara says, "Danin kli mikli, then danin kli mitash." It has to be like, you know, the right item. It's like apples and oranges. Kalim in the Mishkan are kalim. This, the big day kahuna, are vidus tashkitim. So, you know, you can't learn from a beged, you got to learn from a kalim. So that's fine. It's two etzbaot, but that's a beged. It's one of the tashkitim of Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says on the fifth wide line, "Benelif Mizer." Why don't we learn from the Zer? The Zer, and by the way, I should have shown you the pictures, but one second. But I think if you have the art scroll, you have the pictures. Kodesh Hashem. The pictures here. There's three shitot how it looked as how maybe I should do it. Let's do Tosfos. All right, let's do the top Tosfos with the second Tosfos. Okay, everybody will focus. So you know I got to run now. Okay, let's on top line of Haman Aleph. Yud Kei Milamala. Tosfos here, the first Tosfos is addressing the issue, why is it that the Gemara only says Yud-K and doesn't say Bab-K? Why does it mention only two letters? So Yud-K Milamala, Afapish Yud-K Shem Gamur, even though that is one of the Shem of Hashem, like you say in the end of Ashrei, Banachim Vorakka, he says, Einze Hogeshem Ba'otiotav Imaskir Teotiot. It's not pronouncing the Shem Hashem if I just say two letters. Even Einomaskiram the Shem Shem Shalem. He's not mentioning the Shem Shalem. In other words, if his intention is to mention Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he mentions Yud Kei, so it's not mentioning the Shem Hashem, because his intention is to mention the four letter Shem Hashem. That's what Rabbi Ezra Schwartz was saying to me today. Va'od, ahog yashem be'otiotav, in addition to which, there's an aveira of articulating the Shem HaMaforash, hirsh be'kuntra shadorish otiot shem be'arba inushtayim. So Kuntra says, Rashi says, it means that you darshan the 42-letter name of Hashem. So in which case, it's totally out of the ballpark. But then Tosfos says, notwithstanding all the foregoing, we try to be careful with all the Shemot. So, you know, as I said, Yud-K. In other words, we want to be careful with all the Shemot. Now, then the next Tosfos, Kodesh Lamed Lamata. So Kodesh Lamed Lamata, he says, Yesh Mefarshim Lamata Mamash, Zeh Lamala Mizeh. Some say it means literally below. And it was so... He says, in other words, right on top is the Shema Meforash, and underneath it, directly underneath it, are the words, are the letters Kodesh Lash La. He says, Mamash Zelam Alam Yizeh. Below Mistaber, Tosfos says, I don't think that makes sense, Tosfos says. Zain Zek Derek Priyato. That's not the way, like, you're trying to read the Shem. It's supposed to read Kodesh Lashem. And if it says on top, Hashem, and then underneath it, Kodesh La. I wouldn't, like you're reading a sign, like La Habti. I'm reading a sign, would I read that Kodesh La Hashem? He says, Ela Yishtafaresh Zesh Lo Keneged Zeh. Means one is on top, but not directly on top. He says, Kodesh Lamed Betchilat Shita. In other words, Kodesh La Hashem is at the beginning of the line, Hatakona. The beginning of the bottom line is Kodesh La. The shame is Sok Shita Yona, and shame is above it, but at the end of the line. So let me see where we have it. So I have these two pictures here in the picture book. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Anyway, if I don't know if you can see it so well, if it comes out so clearly, but you see on the top of the page here the two and the gold. But you have it in the art scroll. You have it as well. And then I don't have it here in my Gemara, but the art scroll had a Rashi elsewhere, and Rashi. One second. Is a in the art scroll at the bottom of the daf. In the art scroll, they have Likutei Rashi in the art scroll at the bottom of the page. If you look on the, in the art scroll, on the lower left hand corner of the page, he says Kolomar Hashem Shalem B'Shit El Yona the Kodesh Lam B'Shit Tachtona Shelo LaHakim Shor Otiyo B'Mala Min Hashem Yafarsh Shnei Shikim Hayu. All right, so one second. Okay. Right. Okay. So that's the same thing. I think what I'm saying. He says, "Kolomar Hashem Shalem B'Shita Elyona." Right. The Rashi there says the Shem is on the top line. B'Kodesh Lamed B'Shita Tachtona. Okay, that we did. But if you look at the art scroll, he quotes the Rabbi Yochanan by the Rashi as a different configuration. All right. But either way, you get.
It's like the king sitting on.
Yeah. So yeah. So with the Rashba, I assume that Hashem is nothing above Hashem, and it's to the beginning line. I don't know what more to say about this. Okay. All right. Let's see further back in the Gemara. Okay. So again, we're learning that the Kaporet was one Tefach, and we're learning that from Miskeret. The Miskeret is the border of the Shulchan, and the Tzitz is a Tashi. We're not going to learn it out from there. Okay. So now on the fifth line from the top, he says, "Benelef mizer." Why do we learn from the zer? The zer is the trim on different kelim, on the mizbach hazahav, on the shulchan, and the aron all had like this sort of decorative trim around them, known as a zer. And that's much smaller. That's much smaller than a tefa. "Benelef mizer." The amamar zer mashu. There's a statement that a zer could be any amount. So maybe the kapot is any amount. So the Gemara says, "Danin kli mikli." We're going to learn one kli from another kli. The Ainin Dan Kli Mehechshir Kli. Like we're not going to learn a Kli from a decorative item around the Kli. In other words, it's decorative and doesn't form any, you know, purpose. If that's the definition, so the Miskeret, this molding around the Shulchan, is also somewhat decorative, we think. So the Gemara says, Miskeretu L'matahitu. So the Miskeret, in other words, the first way the Gemara understood it, the Miskeret is like this walled area on top of the Shulchan. In other words, I have the Shulchan, and there's like this little wall, rise the tepach coming around above the Shulchan, the border around the Shulchan. So the Gemara says, well, that's decorative. So then why should I learn it from the Zer? So the Gemara says, no. The Miskeret, though, is underneath the Shulchan. In other words, so it's like forming part of the foundation of the Shulchan. Okay, so I can't keep doing the pictures, but Michael says you have a nice picture here, but you get the idea. Let me keep moving. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says five lines to the bottom. That works well according to the pin that holds the Miskeret was underneath the Shulchan. But there's another opinion that holds the Miskeret was above the Shulchan. So then, how do I learn out that the Kaporet was, you know, one tefach from there? Because that also seems to be like a hechsher kli. So my iklamim are hechsher klihu. Ella, so the Gemara revises his understanding. Ella dan in davar shenat no bo Torah mida, mi davar shenat no bo Torah mida. We're going to learn from items that the Torah gives a mida to it. He says va'yochichu tzitz v'zeir shenat no b'hem Torah mida klal. The Torah doesn't give any mida by the other ones. So meaning the tzitz and the zeir. Nothing's written in the Torah. There's no clue in the Torah as to how high they are. With the kaporet, we have like this the raya from the miskeret. In other words, it makes sense. In other words, the aron has some midot, and we're trying to learn where the kaporet comes from. We're going to learn from the kaporet from some things that it says a midah. We're not going to learn from something that doesn't have a midah stated in the Torah. In other words, the sitz is halacha moshe misinai, that it's states about. So he says, Shlomanabahim tore me the klal. Okay, that's the first riot of the Gemara attempts. Again, let's go over. So the Gemara has wanted to know, how do I know? Again, we got into this because we're figuring out that the sukkah has to be above 10 tefachim. And so we learn it from the Aaron and the Kaporet. And the Aaron and the Kaporet is 10 tefachim. And the key is the Kaporet is one tefach. So where do we know the one tefach from? So we said that we're going to learn the one tefach from the misgaret of the shulchan. That's the way we're going with it. That's the basic idea. All right, let's see further. Now, two lines to the bottom. Rav Huna Amar Mehach. Rav Huna says we're going to learn out the kaporet from a different place. Al Paneha Kaporet Kedma. So this refers to something we're just coming off now. The second Yom, you know, the Gemara feel differently when you do them in the order of the Dafyomi. So it talks about, like, you know, with sprinkling the blood in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur, Al Paneha Kaporet Kedma. It doesn't mean it's on the Kaporet, but towards the Kaporet, but Al Paneha, on the face of the Kaporet. They ain't Panim Pachot Mi Tefach. So it refers to Paneha Kaporet. Kaporet is like a panim, like a punim, he's saying in Yiddish. So we never see that anybody's face is less than a tefach in height. So the Gemara says, V'ema ka'ape, turn page, the bar yukhni. Why can't I say it's like the face of a bar yukhni? Listen, I have to go much quicker. I apologize, but I got a little diverted with all those pictures. So the Gemara says, V'ema ka'ape, the bar yukhni. Maybe not the pictures are helpful, but I just got diverted with demonstrating to everybody. Okay, the ema ka'ape de bar yuchni. Maybe it's like the face of the bar yuchni is this big bird, and Rashi mentions, I don't mean like big bird on what is it, Sesame Street, but there's a big bird. The Gemara Maseches Bechoros mentions, we had this also in recent days, I think at the end of Maseches Yoma, it says that the bar yuchni laid an egg and it sank 60 cities and it broke 100 cedars, 300 cedars. Okay, so the Gemara says tefasa rubelo tefasa tefasa muat tefasa. So if you have a choice between a large and a small figure, we're going to go with the small figure that we did earlier. So on the second line, ve'ema ka'ape de tziporta de zutra tuba. Maybe it's like the face of the tziporta de zutra tuba. So I don't know, ours will say like a small bird, but I think it's like a specific bird. I don't know, but there's a small bird. Why can't it be like the face of a small bird? So Amar Bachabar Yaakov, Rav Huna Pnei Gamar. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Bachabar Yaakov isn't saying like a Bema Matsinu. It says, you know, Al Pnei HaKaporet, and we're just saying any Panim to figure out what Panim is. He's learning Gzereshava. Gzereshava is you have two same or similar words in two places. We're learning one from another. Tiv Hakel Pnei HaKaporet. It says, first the Kaporet, Pnei HaKaporet, the face of the Kaporet. Uchtiv HaTam, and it says in Parshat, is it Toldos? It says, Me'e Pnei Yitzchak Aviv, that Achich so Yatza Me'e Pnei Yitzchak Aviv, that Yaakov left Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. He says that the face of Yitzchak, his father. So, in other words, so it's Panim of the Kaporet to Panim Yitzchak. So he said a person's face is at least one tefach. So the Gemara says, V'nelech mi Panim Shomala. Why can't we learn from the Panim Shomala? Panim Shomala, again, even if you're learning, you know, Panim, but Panim Shomala means like a celestial being, like a Malach. Dichtiv, there's another pasuk that mentions Panei. Dichtiv, Kirot Panei Elokim Bat Yurtzeini. That Yaakov, it's interesting, they both deal with Yaakov, that Yaakov sends to Esav that, you know, that seeing you is Kirot Panei Elokim Bat Yurtzeini. Like, Kachna Min Chati Asher Hu Bat Lach, please accept the gift that I'm giving you. He says, but seeing you is Kirot Panei Elokim Bat Yurtzeini. Like seeing Panei Elokim, which means like a Malach. And Rashi says over there, he wanted to allude the fact, like it means like you're Malach, and to like somewhat scare him, like Yaakov was seeing Malachim, you know. So he's in a whole different getter. It's a little bit like when the campaign posters for Netanyahu for Liga Acheret, you know, he's like in a different category. Anyway, Kinron Elohim Tirtzeini. So again, the Gemara says tafasa ruba lo tafasa tafasa muha tafasa. That again, if you have a choice between a large figure and a smaller figure, we're going to go with the smaller figure. Benelef mi kruv. So if that's the case, why can't we learn from the pasuk with the kruv? The kruv are these images that are on top of the aron. Tichtiv el hakaporet you penei hakruvim. It refers to penei hakruvim by the aron. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Gemiri ain pnei kruvim pechutim mitefach. Our Masorah is that the kruvim, the face of the kruvim, is at least one tefach. So the Gemara So the Gemara says, Rav Huna nami mehaka gamir. So the Gemara says, indeed, that's the way Rav Huna meant. So let's go back. So when we started off, al pnei ha-kapor kedma, so Rav Huna was learning, for el ha-kapor yu pnei ha-kruvim, and that was his limud, that the pnei ha-kruvim are one tefa. Okay, now, all right.
So you're learning one part of the Aron from another part of the Aron?
Right. That's correct. 100% correct. Okay, now let's take back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Umay kruv." What does kruv mean? Meaning, like, what is the etymology of the word? The meaning of the word, "my kruv." I'm Rabbi Abahu Kiravya. Kiravya means like a child. Shkain b'Bavel, currently Anuka Ravya. In Bavel, they call a child Ravya. So he says that it means like a child. I'm Rabbi Abaye Elo Me'ata Dechtiv Pneha Echad Pneha Kruv. Now, this is talking about the vision of Yechezkel. And in Yechezkel, he has a vision of the Maase Merkava. There's one vision he has in Perek Aleph, another vision he has in Perek Yud. So in Perek Yud, again, he sees like this Merkava, and there are four images of creatures on each one of the corners of the Merkava, right? It's the Haftorah for the first day of Shavuos, but not from this Perek, but in Perek Yud, he says, and it says, Pnei ha-echad, pnei ha-kruv. One looked like a kruv. It'll look like a person. So a hainu kruv, hainu adam. So if you're telling me that the kruv is like a yanuka, a child, so they're both human. They're both human images. In other words, so why isn't it like the Zalbazak? So the Gemara says, ape ravrave, ape zutra, larger face and a smaller face. And I think I didn't look it up today, but I think the Pnei Yeshua in the beginning of the Sefer, like I think this is safer by his father, is the Ape Ravrave, and his safer he calls the Ape Zutra, like the smaller face. Anyway, you get the idea. He says, now the Gemara, so that's taken care of. Now it's like a new paragraph. Umimai de Chalala Asara Bar Mischacha. Eima Bahare Schacha. So up until now, from the Mishnah, it sounded like that you have 10 tefachim till you get to the Schach. So unless I have at least 10 tefachim until I get to tzchach, it's pasul. If there's not at least 10 tefachim of space, it's pasul. But we just broke the raya. How do we know 10 tefachim? We learned it from the aron with the kaporet. So the kaporet is like the lid on the aron, and it's 10 tefachim with the lid. So maybe the raya then comes out that it's like with the tzchach is 10 tefachim. Let's see the Rashi on this. You know, I tell you, when I was preparing this stuff, I almost thought to send you an email that we don't even need this whole time, because I thought it's going to be like zip, 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 but I see things longer. Okay, let's be back on the Gemara. So let's look at the sixth narrow line in Rashi, or the eighth narrow line. How do we know the space is 10 tefachim? Came into me on Ron, but Kaporet Yalfit Asara. Since you're learning from the Aron Kaporet, how do you know that the space besides the schach sent tefachim, Nilma Bahadi schacha ki Aron Kaporet. Maybe it means together with the schach is 10 tefachim. And so it would come out that it could even be like less than 10 tefachim space. So let's see back in the Gemara. We might call it a sarah bar mischacha, ain Bahadi schacha, Elo mi beit olamim gamar. So now the Gemara has a different source for learning that a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim high is not kosher. We're going to learn from the base of Mikdash. He says, "Dechtiv ba'bayda shabana hamel Shlomo l'Hashem, the house that Shlomo Mel built for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, shishim ama orko was 60 amot in length, b'shrim rachbo 20 amot in width, u'shloshim ama komato 30 amot in height." So the key measure you need is that last one, 30 amot in height. Uchtiv, and it says, "Komat hakruv hayachad eser ba'ama b'chin hakruv hasheni." Now, if you remember, and we learned this in Daf Yomi, I guess we had it like everything in Daf Yomi, but the Gemara Baba Batra says that Shlomo Melech, he built additional kruvim. In other words, in addition to the kruvim that were on the Aron, he built other kruvim. So the Navi says that the height of one kruv was 10 amot, and similarly the other kruv. B'tanya mamatina b'beit olamim, we learned the Brisa, where we find, like in the eternal house, it means the base of Mikdash, Kruvim b'shlish ha'bayim omdin. So the kruvim, the height of the kruvim is 10 amot. The height of the structure is 30 amot. So the ratio is 1/3. So the kruvim are 1/3 of the height of the structure. Mishkan nami kruvim b'shlish ha'bayim omdin. Similarly, in the Mishkan, the kruvim, the height of the kruvim took up one third of the height of the Mishkan. So that's the end. Now the Gemara says Mishkan Kamahavi. How tall was the Mishkan? Esra Amot, 10 Amot. Yechiv Esra Amot Orach HaKaresh. It says each Karesh, they had these boards, were 10 Tefachim in height. The 10 Amot in height. He says, Kama Havi Luhu, how much does that add up to in Tefachim? Shitin Pushti. So 10 Amot is 60 Tefachim. 60 Tefachim. Tilfei Kama Havi, how much is a third of that? Esrim Pushti. That's 20 Tefachim. He said, okay, so let's go slowly with this. So wait. So now we're proving that the Kruvim are up to a height, we'll see in a minute, of 20 Tefachim. We'll see in a minute. He says, Dal Asar Da Aron V'Kaporet. Now the Kruvim are on top of the Aron. So it means that together with their support, they get up to a height of 20 Tefachim. So he says, Dal Asar Da Aron V'Kaporet. So now remove the 10 tefachim from the Aron and the Kaporet. That's what is supporting them. Pashul Huasara, that leaves 10 tefachim for the group. Okay? So again, we're trying to learn a different source that a sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim in height. So we're focusing on the Kruvim, and we're focusing on the Kruvim in the Mishkan. And the Gemara has proved that the Kruvim in the Mishkan are 10 tefachim in height, sochachim, like covering with their winged arms on the Kaporet. They would spread their wings above. Like sochachim is cognated with sukkah. Sochachim forming a sukkah on the kaporet. So the Gemara calls it like sochach above 10 tefachim. In other words, they're 10 tefachim in height to their head, and they're covering an area which is, the wings are above the area, but they're covering an area which is 10 tefachim in height. So the Gemara says, Mimai gadfinu ilavi reshayu kaimi. How did you figure out that their heads are to a height of 20 tefachim? 10 tefachim from the Aron and the Kaporet, and 10 tefachim in height. So the Kruvim are 10 tefachim high up to their heads. And then they're holding their winged arms over themselves, forming a sukkah. So the Gemara says, "How did you figure out that their wings are above their heads? Dilma lahade reshayu kaimi. Maybe the wings are on the same level of the head. If the wings are on the same level of the head, then we have the same issue we had before. If the wings are on the same level as the head, then we have a space of less than 10 tefachim covered by something up, and then everything is up to 10 tefachim. We're trying to prove that the space is 10 tefachim, the wings are above it. So he says, "Amar ba'ath bar Yaakov lamalakti." So it says lamala above. So it's above their head. So the Gemara says Va'ema Dimidli Tuba, maybe it's much higher. How did you figure out that it's just covering 10 tefachim? Mikhtiv Lamala Lamala. Does it say Lamala Lamala? This is Lamala. So the Gemara assumes that Lamala, there's 10 tefachim, which is you have the space from the head of the Kruvim down to their feet. And then above that are the wings of the Kruvim, and that's forming a sukkah. All right, let me just do a little bit further, and then we'll pause at this time, okay? So Anichla Reb Meir, the Amar Chola Amor Ayu Beinoniot. So everything we said works out well, according to the Tan Reb Meir, who says that the Amot in the Beis HaMikdash were Beinoniot, were six tefachim. And, you know, and here, if you have the Perush Chai, he's got a nice picture. I don't know if you could see it here, but he shows that, like, it's exactly, you know, 10 tefachim and space. Okay, you can take a look at it here. Here, look at these two pictures, okay? So, I pass the parish guy around, so you can see a little micro style, okay? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, all right. So, the Gemara says, Hanichla Rameir de Amar, kol Amor ayu beinoniot. So, according to Rameir, he says that all the Amos that were used in the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan were beinoniot. So, beinoniot means six tefachim. So there's another amma of five tefachim, and then the Gemara also learns that there's an amma that was a little larger than six tefachim. So according to Meir, they're all beinoniot. He says El Rabbi Yehuda the Amar amma shall be in shisha tefachim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that amma was six tefachim. The shall kelim kamisha, but the kelim was five tefachim. My itlam emar. Now we're going to be in trouble. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the tefachim, the amot we're using are amot of five tefachim. So Aaron the Kaporet Kamahavi Lahu. So how much are the Aaron the Kaporet now? So the Aaron was an Amma and a half. So if an Amma is only five Tfachim, let me have, thank you. So if an Amma is only five Tfachim, an Amma and a half is 7.5 Tfachim. So it's only 7.5 Tfachim, and the Kaporet, I still assume, is one Tepa. So it says, so Aaron the Kaporet Kamahavi Lahu Taman Yupalga. So it's going to be 8.5 Tfachim. Pashulhu, and then we said that the Kruvim to their heads got up to the twenty Tefach mark. So Pashulhu Chatsre Upalga. So there's gonna be like 11.5 Tfachim, you know, till the head of the, in other words, if the height of the Kruvim is at the 20 Tefach mark. That was assuming that the Aaron and the Kaporet were 10 Tfachim, and they were 10 Tfachim. Then everything we worked out well. Then we had our proof with the arms. But now, according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, so the base is only 8.5 Tfachim, and the Kruvim, the heads of the Kruvim would be like another 11.5 Tfachim. He says Pashul Chatzri Upalga. So the Gemara says Ema Sukkah Dahavi Chatzri Upalga. So we have to say the Sukkah has to be 11.5 Tfachim in height. El Rabbi Yehuda Hilchot Gemiri La. So the Gemara says, according to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, you have to say there's a halakha moshmi sina that has to be 10 tefachim. Okay, let's just pause for 1 second. So again, we learned a lot of different sources for 10 tefachim tonight, right? So we had one source mentioned was the Aaron and the Kaporet to a height of 10 tefachim. That's one resource. Then we had a gzeirah shava from Pnei HaKaporet to the Kruvim, and the Panim of the Kruvim were 10 tefachim. And now we're saying that according to Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, it's Hilchot Gemiri La. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Rabbi Chiya Barashi says, in the name of Rav, Shiurin Chatzitzin Mechitzin Lachlam Moshami Sinai. Shiurin are like the measurements, Chatzitzin, the din of a Chatzitza. Like you go to a mikveh, you have a Chatzitzin interruption, an interposition. Umechitzin, the din of Mechitzot, or Halachlam Moshami Sinai. So this would be Mechitza. This would be a Mechitza. But with size of a Sukkah, it's not just the size of a Sukkah, size of an Eruv by Shabbos, we said Mechitza or Halachlam Moshami Sinai. Now we'll begin the deen with this, and Belina will go on tomorrow. It says, Shiurin, what do you mean, Shiurin Duraitaninu? What do you mean that Shiurim are Halachlam Moshami Sinai? We're like wandering off a little bit. We were just proving, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mechitzot or Halachlam Moshami Sinai, but the Gemara mentions Shiurim also Halachlam Moshami Sinai. The words Shiurim and Duraikin, you know, they're mentioned in the Pesukim. The Hauso, Dichtiv, is not quite partial Shavuot, but getting close to it. Dichtiv, Eretz Chita Usora, Begefenu Tena Brimon, Eretz Eit Shemen Udvash. A land of wheat and barley and vines and a fig and a pomegranate, a land of, you know, olive oil and honey. So, Ba'am Rav Chanin, Rav Chanin said the whole Pasuk is alluding to different shiurim that we have in Halacha. Now, the first one we'll do tonight, and the rest we'll do Blineder tomorrow night. Chita Lebeit Hamanuga. So, the first item we mentioned is Chita, Eretz Chita, land of wheat. That's an allusion to a Halacha that applies to Beit Hamanuga. Beit Hamanuga is a house that's stricken with Tzaraas. Now, the house is Tameh. Anybody who walks in the house is Tameh. But we'll see a certain din where the weed is going to come into play. We learn in the Mishnah, and this is the Mishnah of a second Nagayim. We don't do Nagayim with Daf Yomi, but you get a little bit of everything with Daf Yomi. Hanichlas lebeit hamanuga. If a person enters the house of a manuga, that means the house that's you know, that got sarad on it. The kelav akteifav, his garments are on his shoulders. The sandalav tabotav yado, he's holding his sandal, he's holding his rings. I mean, the point is he's not wearing them, he's holding the items. So as soon as he walks to the door, he, the person, is tameh, and the kelim are tameh. On the top line on Vavam and Aleph, hayalavush kelav, the sandalav raglav, he's wearing the garments. The sandalav raglav, the sandals on his feet, the tabotav etzbotav, and the rings are on his fingers. Hu tamei miyad. He, the person, is tamei immediately. The hain tohorin, those either items, there's a lag time. They're tohorim ad shishe b'chdeyachi lepras. Till he's in that house for shishe lepras, which we usually say is like between 3 and 9 minutes. So like the same idea, you know, with eating. Yeah. So a chile pras is eating half a loaf of bread. Now, here's where the chita comes in. So the Mishnah says, pat chitin below pat saorin. It has has to be a wheat bread and not patsorim. Patsorim you would eat slowly. It's more like animal food. Mesiv ochel beliftan, and you're like as if you'd be reclining and eating it with condiment. So that's the first halacha that we say the chita. So the Gemara is asking in the middle of a question. The Gemara is saying, how can you say talk from Moshe Sinai? We have all these shurim that are mentioned in the Torah, mefurish, or not mefurish, but pretty, but allusion to it at least there. Okay, well, I have 1 minute for questions, and then we got to go. Any who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Anybody in the cyber world? Okay, anybody here in the real world? Okay, it's nice to have a nice chaver here. You're off to a good start. Our second sukkah. For the recording.
Shkoch.
Thank you.